Hello, everyone. Today's devotional comes from Luke chapter 4. Again, that's Luke chapter 4. They'll read that for us. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it'll all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Amen. In the previous chapter from yesterday, in Luke chapter 3, we read about Jesus getting baptized, followed by a genealogy of Jesus. I found it interesting that in the Gospel of Matthew, it starts off in the very first verse of the first chapter with the genealogy of Jesus, followed by his birth. But here in the Gospel of Luke, the placement of the genealogy of Jesus comes straight after his baptism. And this genealogy in Matthew starts from Abraham and goes all the way down to Jesus. But here in Luke, it starts from Jesus and goes backwards, and this time going past Abraham all the way to Adam, who came from God. And the reason I bring this up is because it seems that the Gospel of Luke, with this interesting placement of Jesus' genealogy right after his baptism, it highlights the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. Here in Luke chapter 4, we see almost an overview of what this earthly ministry looks like as Jesus embarks on his mission to save the world. So in today's devotional, instead of focusing on a small section of the passage, I wanted to give us a bigger picture of Jesus' mission on earth. So firstly, we see Jesus immediately after his baptism. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. Here, we can undeniably see that A, Jesus is perfect and without blemish, and B, he is able to empathize with humanity. After this, Jesus returns to his hometown of Nazareth, where he preaches that good news is coming. Some people are encouraged by this message, while others are skeptical and are even led to want to throw Jesus off of a cliff. So almost immediately at the start of his ministry, Jesus is well acquainted with rejection. And to close off the chapter, we then read about different accounts of Jesus healing people and having compassion on them. So just to reiterate, this is what Jesus' earthly ministry looks like at its beginnings, which kind of sets the tone for what it'll continue to be like. One, Jesus, through temptation, empathizes with humanity while still being perfect. Perfect Jesus empathizes with imperfect humanity. Two, Jesus is well acquainted with rejection, but still preaches to both the rejectors and the receivers. And finally, three, Jesus heals people in compassion. Chapter 4 ends with this last section in verses 42 to 44, where Jesus, after all the ministry of preaching and healing the crowds, he tells them this, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." Jesus was sent by the Father to do his will. And of course, we'll discover more of what that means in the coming chapters. I just want to end today's devotional with one thought. There is nothing more precious. There's no elaborate sermon or cool worship song that gives us goosebumps. There's nothing more precious than falling in love with Christ as we read about him through his word. This is where it all starts, through the revealing of the truth through his word. And over the next few weeks, we're going to read further into the Gospel of Luke. And my earnest hope is that we as a church would read about Jesus' life and ministry and the revelation of his truth through his word, that it would cause us to fall deeply in love with him and be captured by him. So let's ask God to speak to us through this Gospel of Luke. And let's get excited to be refreshed in his love and redemption for the world. Let's pray. God, you are a good and holy and perfect God. And we as your subjects who have sinned against you and have rejected you, we have no right whatsoever to even be considered for an ounce of grace. But here in the Gospel of Luke, Lord, you display and offer us unmerited grace through the life and ministry of your Son, Jesus. Who are we, Lord, that you have sent your only Son of unfathomable, infinite worth to the world and to eventually die for our purchase? Lord, we thank you. And we want to be absolutely captured by you and the revelation of who you are through this word. Lord, as we continue to read through the Gospel of Luke, I pray that you speak mightily to us through the rest of this gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.